B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
A guy that made me feel warm and fuzzy when I started my day today because I read that it's just 50 days to the NFL season starts, the 100th season. That was your tweet, Adam Schefter. Thank you for making me feel good to start my day.
Good morning, Mark, Trey, Bob, Philadelphia. Hope everybody's doing well. And yeah, 50 days to the start of the season, 15 days to the first preseason game. The Denver Broncos actually report to training camp as a full squad, not just the rookies. And we got the rookies in Arizona and Seattle and Baltimore reporting to training camp today as well. So, I mean, I guess here we go, right? Like, that seems to be the sign that when you got a full team in camp today and you got a few other teams sending their rookies to camp today, and it's 50 days to the season and 15 days to the preseason opener. I don't want to say football is back, but I would say football is almost back.
It is almost back, yes. And as you say, people are reporting for training camp. Trey Thomas over here has a little twitch to him right now.
Yeah, I hate training camp.
You know, but Trey, look, how much easier is it today?
I know.
I mean, it's honestly, like, I remember, you know, when I was in Greeley, Colorado, on the University of Northern Colorado campus for 15 years, watching the Broncos practice. I mean, it was two-a-days most days. Two-a-days.
Full pads.
And full pads hitting. Like, it's not like that anymore. It's just different.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, basically, you know, like somebody said to me last week, they said, well, what are you doing the rest of the summer? I said, my summer's over. And, that you know, that's what it is. And the players, it's really over. It's
over. Oh, yeah. Everybody right now is a little sad.
Yeah, you get to July 17 and, you know, kiss your loved ones goodbye and ship off to work.
Yeah, your body will never feel good again until next year around this time.
Well, how's that body going to feel for an NFL player, Adam, if in fact this 18-game schedule gets approved? And I do believe the NFL's headed there no matter what. It's just a matter of when they get there. It came out that players would play 18 games, but you might only have them available for 16 of the 18 games. There might be another bye, fewer preseason games. With this new collective bargaining agreement already being talked about, how do you think this ends up with 18 games?
Well, I don't think it ends up with 18 games at all.
Ever?
I don't.
Ever?
Well, I'm never going to say never.
Within the next 5 years?
No.
Okay.
It's not going to happen.
Good.
All right.
I don't believe that at all. And again, they are gathering today, the NFL and the NFLPA in Chicago, for three straight days of talks, today, Thursday, Friday, to try to make some headway on a new CBA. And when that new CBA is done, and I don't know whether they get it done by the start of the season or during this season or sometime in the next year or so, but when they get that done, and it certainly sounds like they're going to have a real chance to do that, I think that we will see changes. First of all, there's a lot of changes that are going to take place. You know, some of the biggest changes will be not just in the next television deal, which really isn't related to CBA so much as it is the media rights deal, because how is the NFL going to be consumed? How is they going to distribute it after 2021? Is it going to be like Amazon and Netflix?
Right.
And we don't have, in terms of the CBA and the schedule, I just don't see 18 games happening. Now, if the owners want it bad enough, they could always make it happen. And if a player makes, I'm making this up, $500,000 a game, He's got a $8.5 million salary for the year, and players are paid over 17 weeks, as Trey knows. Would each player be willing to play two more games for another $1 million a year? I mean, you know, everybody's got a price.
Right.
I just don't see an 18 game schedule happening. What I do see is I see a reduction, if not an elimination, of preseason games.
Okay.
Because everybody knows that that's something that it's just not a good product.
Right.
The league knows it. The fans know it. The teams know. I mean, everybody knows. You watch that, and fans should not have to be made to buy those tickets, but they are. And I think what you may see is there are a couple of things. You may see a shortened preseason and an expanded postseason where there are seven teams in each conference making the playoffs, one more in each conference, where only one team gets a bye and the other six play on the opening weekend. And then you go on from there, which could equate to a lot of extra media rights money. Or you may see a 17-game schedule where, again, maybe it's eight home games, eight road games, and everybody is ruled to play one international game.
Oof.
And that way you grow revenue that way. So, again, I don't know whether it's going to be the expanded postseason, the expanded regular season, but I really feel confident we're going to get a reduced, if not eliminated, preseason. And then the question is what they want to do with that and what's the best option? Uh-huh. What can the players live with? What's the most lucrative? How do they want to go from there?
What do you think would hold up the players' union with 18 games? Would it be just the wear and tear on the body, the health factor, or what would it be? Because you would essentially also, I would assume, expand more rosters. What do you think would be the big hold up from the players' perspective?
Well, listen, the NFL's big mission, one of the big missions has been, you know, player health and safety. How can you realistically make that argument by saying we want to add on two more games? Mm-hmm. Like that's not right. Come on. That's not right. That's not real. And from an NFLPA standpoint, they've also fought for players' safety and time off and lighter practices and no tour days, and Trey would have been feeling fresher today.
Yes.
So, you know, they put a lot of emphasis into that. So if you all of a sudden now go to 18 games, then you're giving up on that. So now look, could the owners sweeten the pot so much? Could it be so important to them that somehow everybody goes to make 18 games work? Sure. I mean, there's a price for everything in life, right?
Of course.
Okay. I don't see it happening. Doesn't mean I'm right. I don't see it. Mm-hmm. I just think there are other options, other scenarios that are more realistic and more viable. But that's what these talks in Chicago for the next 3 days or four, that's what these talks will be for until they get a new CBA hammered out. And everybody will get to bring their own agendas and desires and priorities to the table for everybody to decide on what's right and what's not.
All right, speaking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. Adam, I want to ask you about Ezekiel Elliott and the contract in Dallas. Reports are he might hold out. How do you see that whole thing falling into place?
I think that it will just break Eagles fans' hearts to hear that. I think it's an issue. I really do think it's an issue.
That's why I ask. I want to make our listeners happy.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I'm here to make the people in Philadelphia happy this morning. I think that there's an issue there. And I think it's an issue because, really, the Cowboys, I don't think, are going to pay Zeke right now. And if you're a running back, you know, you better get it while you can. And so I think their priority is to pay Dak and Amari and Byron Jones and Jalen Smith and some of the other guys. And look, you know, with Zeke Elliott, and this, again, comes back to the CBA talks that they're having in Chicago today. The Cowboys have Zeke on the fourth year of his contract, and then they have him on the fifth-year option. So if you look at what Zeke is going to make in the next 2 years, why would the Cowboys feel compelled, other than taking care of their guy and doing the right thing, to go redo the deal? And if you're Zeke, you're going to redo the deal now. There's no way you could expect full value like you would if you were on the open market. And the problem with the CBA the way it is now is a running back has to play, if he's really good, he's going to have to play 5 years before he can get free agency. And then the team could franchise you a couple of times. You know, a la Le'Veon Bell, you look at that. And so now you're 7 years in before you, like, it's crazy. Like, and you're used up as a running back. So that is something that has to be changed in the next CBA. They've got to somehow limit these franchise tags. They've got to give, I think, especially running backs, the ability to be able to hit the market and get their work. The system, the way it is constructed now, is not conducive to a guy like Ezekiel Elliott cashing in. Now, he's going to have to do what he feels like he has to get that new contract. Maybe that means withholding his services. If he does, the Cowboys certainly are not the same team. But you know, if you're Zeke Elliott and you've had a suspension and you've had some off the field issues, like now you want to go hold out? Like that's the name and brand and reputation you want to build. And I get it because, look, ultimately it's in the name of taking care of yourself and your family and doing what's best for you, and he should be doing what's best for him. But I don't know in this case what is best for him, to be honest.
Shefty, we haven't heard much on the Malcolm Jenkins front since he came back to mandatory, pre-training camp a couple of weeks ago. Have you heard anything more on that and where that may be? Or if not, how do you think it'll play out?
I don't think you'll hear much of that this season. I think it will be a quiet issue. I think that the conversations that they've had kind of address the concerns and let everyone to believe that, you know, this will be addressed at the appropriate time. If it hadn't been, he wouldn't be here right now. And if it hadn't been addressed to Malcolm's satisfaction, it would have lingered on. And again, I was one of the ones who thought it was going to linger on. So whatever it was that the Eagles said to him made him feel good enough to change his stance entirely and come in. Now, I don't know whether that means, hey, you know, we'll redo the deal after the season or we'll take care of you at a certain time. We'll see. But they assured him in those conversations enough that he's going to be there, and I don't think that that issue becomes an issue again this season, during the season.
All right, Adam, we'll channel NBA Adam here for a second because I have some news for him that I think is going to make him excited.
Mm.
Now, I doubt this guy's available on your fantasy. Do you have a keeper fantasy basketball?
No, we don't. And
okay.
Actually, I just sent out to the commissioner that I want the draft Sunday night, October 20th, which is two days before the start of the NBA season. So we haven't even drafted our NFL rosters and our 16-team ESPN War Room League yet, and I'm already planning the NBA fantasy draft for Sunday night, October 20th.
He's always prepared.
Well, I just want to give you this little insider information here because I want to give you. I want to give you the scoop. We had Elton Brand on yesterday, Chief Beef himself. We had Elton Brand on, and he said that Joel Embiid is going to come back in shape, and he also said that Ben Simmons will definitely have a mid-range game.
Well, listen, I've got no problem.
There you go.
Taking Sixers high in my fantasy draft. You know, let me say this though. Roto World did a ranking like of the first 50 players in the NBA draft, like what it would look like a fantasy draft at this point in time, and it was pretty amazing to me. I'm going to read you, the top of the draft. Well, here we go. Okay, so. I want to read you the first 20 picks. Do we have time for this? Okay.
Barely.
Give me the first 10.
Steph Curry, Giannis, Harden 3, Towns 4, Anthony Davis 5, Damian Lillard 6, Jokic 7, Paul George 8, Embiid 9, Gobert 10, Beal 11, Zion 12, Kemba 13, Trae Young 14, Drew Holiday 15, Russell Westbrook 15, Devin Booker, Russell Westbrook 16, Devin Booker 17, Vucevic 18, LeBron 19, Mitchell Robinson 20, Kyrie Irving 21, and Luka Doncic 22. So Mitchell Robinson is one slot behind LeBron James.
Wow!
One slot ahead of Kyrie and two ahead of Luka Doncic.
This is why I don't play NBA fantasy. This is why I do not play NBA fantasy.
Man.
That is bonkers, Adam. That is absolutely bonkers. We got to run, but Adam.
Shefty, real quick, sorry.
Yeah.
Great report on the book.
Oh, your wife enjoyed it?
She enjoyed it tremendously. Shefty and I were texting this weekend.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, she enjoyed it just like I did about a year ago. Enjoyed it tremendously. She says, Donna wanted me to pass that along to you.
What, the notebook?
Well, thank her. Kind and really very nice.
Is that the man I never met?
Yes.
The man I never met.
Awesome book.
Fantastic. All right, Adam Shefter, thank you so much for coming on, man. Great stuff as always.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.